hospitals, public and private, are just full. They are saturated. The health workers are just burned out. And that's why we also saw health workers yesterday participating and, you know, joining and supporting the national strike. So the government is very reluctant and resisting to take measures in order to control the pandemic.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. We'll continue to follow the situation. Lucrecia Hernandez Mac, member of the Guatemalan Congress, first woman health minister of Guatemala before she was a Congress member, and Andrea Ichu, Maya Quiche leader, journalist and human rights defender, joining us from Western Guatemala. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe.
I'm Dr. Demento, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
And at KBOO Portland, it is 8 a.m. It's Friday. Mind that gap, because we're going to bridge it, because girls are powerful. Stay tuned. Your community connection.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I am Tammy, and beside me physically is Althea. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm well. It's nice to be here. It's nice to see you, and it's nice to be seen.
Yeah.
As well as a happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
All round applause. Mm-hmm. Hello, Sonia, doing the thing, terrestrial angel. How are you feeling?
I wish I had a little harp to pluck.
Doom, 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 doom. Was that a good harp impression?
Oh, it's perfect.
Okay, great.
Nice. Oh, we're all
got
here.
Got it in one.
All feeling it, all here, all good stuff. That song always gets the blood pumping. And I hope that listeners sit, like, dance around when they hear that.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Know that we're dancing around whenever we hear it.
It's the whole point is to get the blood pumping before we get into the musings of The Gap, where we bridge it, fill it, mind it, and here we are. We're going to have our usual part one and part two, where we ask a community question and we ask listeners to call on in. And we do have a special mailbag segment, which we'll get to a little later on. Today on The Gap, we are starting off with the billionaire space race. That sounds like it has some background music or something.
Yeah. I cut together a little clip to explain it. This happened, I guess, last week. Pretty chilling, kind of regardless. But yeah, we got a little clip here that explains some of the background. Sonia, you want to hit that? Oh, all right.
It's not wanting to play right now, but
I can, you know, what's the word? Exposit?
There we go.
Something. basically, while, you know, there are floods in Europe and the West Coast is on fire, wouldn't you know it, some of the richest men in the world are racing each other to space. Jeff Bezos, I think beat out Richard Branson to get into space first. So Bezos is obviously Mr. Amazon. And so he had a space flight. Oh, and it sounds like we've got that clip queued up. So let's hear it.
The final frontier. Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos competing to be the first into space with their space tourism flights. Bezos' Blue Origin currently set to be the first up, with his historic spaceflight scheduled to lift off on July 20th from West Texas on the 52nd anniversary of the moon landing. It seems the Amazon mogul leapfrogged Branson, who many believed would win this race.
Sold $28 million.
And that's how much one unknown bidder is paying to be part of history and take the 11-minute trip into space with Bezos.
It's a thing I've wanted to do all my life.
The journey is a suborbital flight and going just 100 kilometers into space, allowing customers to have about 3 minutes of weightlessness. Branson tweeted his congratulations to Bezos on their spaceflight plans. Virgin Galactic telling CNN, while they remain on track to finish their final test runs, they have not set an official launch date. Both space companies have had successful suborbital test flights over the past decade. Virgin Galactic had a setback in 2014 when a co-pilot was killed during a test flight of a previous model of their spacecraft. But the company has since sold about 600 tickets at more than $200,000 each, a cost that's likely to go up. So far, fewer than 600 people have been to space. And whether it's Bezos or Branson, this first flight is sure to kick off a new type of tourism, allowing those that can stomach the price and the adrenaline rush their own set of astronaut wings and bragging rights for life. Rachel Crane, CNN, New York.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all of this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
So yeah, that was a little clip from CNN. I
can't believe that's real.
I found the clip of him saying that, and I wanted to add in, you know, the momentous music.
Of course, yeah.
We're coming at it from, you know, a little bit of sarcasm and irony, because it's... Oh, boy. Boy, does it just leave a bad taste in your mouth.
It's, I can't believe that's real. Like, who wrote this? Was this William Gibson? Like, what is this?
I think he was ad-libbing. I don't know if he had, you know, a lot of PR help. They would have been like, you know what would be really, you know, he's wearing, like, a cowboy hat and, like, a blue space suit, just, like, sitting in, like, one of those little director's chairs, and the interviewer's like, oh, like, how do you feel? And he's like, oh, before I get into any of that, I gotta thank all these people. And then at the very end, he thanks Amazon employees and customers, which, like, I guess customers is maybe more defensible than employees, because it's very well known that Amazon employees endure poor wages and really difficult working conditions in order for their business model to work. But he said it twice. I guess he meant it. I also realized I'd never heard Jeff Bezos' voice before, and I don't know what I thought it was going to sound like, but I think subconsciously I have, like, an expectation that, like, rich people sound sort of erudite, and, like, he didn't really sound like that to me. I don't know.
He sounded like, definitely gave, like, government official vibe, so maybe that's what he's aiming for, because he can always say, hey, I went to space.
Yeah, true. I mean, he only went like 50 miles into space,
11 whole minutes,
and 11 minutes, so it's just you know, a little anticlimactic. And also, might I add, Amazon employees and customers didn't intend for you to use to exploit them to go to space. Like, they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna buy this so this one guy can go to space. Like, I don't. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, Richard Branson's in on it.
Good friends, apparently.
Oh yeah. 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 Gotta tweet your congratulations being beat into space. And one kind of like funny thing. There was a change.org petition to say that Bezos shouldn't be allowed back on Earth. And it got 150,000 signatures.
I wonder, since it is private, if there is some sort of semantics with, like, if they can pull, like, an immigration card or something and be like, actually, you didn't go through the procedures. So, this is interesting. I don't want to, like, push back on it, because there isn't anything that I disagree with what you said. Although, you know, when we were talking, you're saying, like, you know, we agreed that space exploration is one of the more interesting things that, you know, at least the government was doing. And it was for the sake of, like, I guess kind of in the same of exploration and stuff. But they were not shy about, you know, this felt more like billionaires finding an alternative to what's going on here, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, some sort, even if it is misdirected, sense of, like, accomplishment and togetherness and, you know, national pride and all of that stuff. So it is kind of strange that to think your employees after, well, A, like you said, this isn't what they wanted, and B, they sued you. They sued you because you were taking their wages. Mm. So is this what you were taking their wages for? It's a lot of questions.
Yeah, the math doesn't work out on that. Sonia, what do you think?
Well, the thing about national pride and all that and accomplishment and is that with the big push to put people on the moon and bring them back safely and all that, that was a national thing. That was a national effort. It was a collective effort. It wasn't some rich guy, some single person's, you know, vanity project, you know, or a single person's commercial R&D, you know, developing private space flight. It was a collective thing. It was a national thing. You know, it was national resources spent on this thing, and a lot of really useful and interesting stuff came out of it. The unique requirements for space travel,
mm-hmm. Velcro,
forced the development of a lot of stuff that we have today that's mm-hmm. common, that was undreamed of 60 years ago, because there wasn't anything like a need that would produce it. And now we find that, like, when we needed to do something about some issue concerning space travel, we found things that had wide-ranging applications in our daily lives on Earth. And this is, you know, yes, a benefit in general. And then it was this is an issue anyway when it's public expenditure, even more so when it's a private enterprise, is that all this wealth is being spent on something other than improving the lives of people.
Mm.
You know, our lives are made easier in many ways by discoveries from the space race of the middle of last century. But a lot of things have not been addressed. You know, we still have this massive inequality in just the ability to live comfortably and with dignity. And that is, we still haven't addressed that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that that was one of the things that was a big part of the discourse around it, is that there is, you know, there's a dollar amount on a lot of these kinds of, you know, global issues that we're facing. Mm-hmm. I know one tweet that got a lot of traction was saying, like, hey, great, good job going to space. How about spending the $6 billion that it would take so that people stop dying of hunger in this world? Like, that to you and me is an unfathomable amount of money. That's throwaway cash, so you can go to space for 11 minutes. Not saying that that's, like, exactly how much it costs, but it's pocket change. But I did want to highlight some of the inventions that came out of the space race. In the 60s, we got memory foam, cochlear implants. There's a lot of cool stuff. Scratch-resistant eyeglass lenses.
Oh, like, my goodness.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And the insulin pump.
Mm.
And a particular type of water filter. So there's a lot of things that progress lent to, besides, you know, national pride, that there was a push to figure out certain problems. And I think because that's how the initial space race started,
mm-hmm.
that's sort of, like, baked into the thinking about it. Not saying that it's, like, right or wrong. So it's weird to be like, oh, you just went for yourself? Like, what good did it do for anybody?
Right. I guess since we have that to compare it with, and all the stuff that we gained from it, yeah. I really wonder what's going to happen with that petition. if they are going to actually, I mean, I don't know, even if it's just, you know, not, you know, anything going to happen from it, it's just kind of like the notion that people don't want you to come back because they, they're like, you know what? No, you shouldn't have done that.
I mean, there's few people who have as large a role in making the world actively worse.
This is true.
So, yeah. Yeah, and also just, you know, not to get too in the weeds here, but, like, only 50 miles, you know? Like, I get that spaceflight is really hard. One rocket launch, this is another thing people were talking about, was, like, the environmental cost of these,
right,
like,
yeah,
vanity projects. One rocket launch is 300 tons of CO2 into the upper atmosphere, which is, you know, I mean, if you're have dipped a toe into, you know, conservationism and environmentalism, a lot of the things that they recommend that individuals do is like, oh, avoid plane travel when you can, because it like has a lot of emissions, which is very true. But boy, if we haven't factored space, just a little jaunt into space.
Yeah, it sounds so futuristic, but I mean, I guess we are, you know, the future is now. I mean, this can't be the last time, or is it? You know, I wonder if this will be the last time, and if it's not, then there's gonna have to be some sort of regulations around it, for if not anything like the environmental effect on it, since we're all feeling, you know, the what's happening. This seems to be a very dangerous precedent to set without having any kind of like boundaries around it. I'm sure there are. I'm not aware because I never try to go into space yet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And just, I don't know. I mean, Elon Musk isn't necessarily in this conversation in the sense that his space company, SpaceX,
He's bitter.
His whole thing is space, he's not even in the not even in this particular conversation, because his rockets don't work good. So that's, you know, sad for him, I guess. But I mean, I think it's, if you've ever heard his rhetoric of like, we got to go to space, like Earth is over, let's we got to go colonize Mars, it's like you have to be in a very particular position to have that be, I don't know, even worth talking about. And then that he has so much influence that, you know, people buy into it to a certain extent, I think is kind of chilling. Especially like, it was just such a bad, like the ocean was on fire when they were doing this, like it was just nutty.
Yeah, like you said, there's so many things that are happening. This doesn't seem like a good time. Although, you know, when is a good time to kind of like, you know, use up a bunch of resources in order to go to space? You know, I guess he had a if not now when type of attitude. But
I guess.
I don't know. I really wonder what they're doing, what they're talking about there, if they're even there. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's very interesting because, well, like, and thinking about how, you know, colonization of space, like if that ever is like a thing, how it would be tackled, because there is, with, you know, like the moon and with Antarctica, the countries of the world have kind of like agreed that like, okay, fine, we won't. It'll be too hard for us to fight over this. We're gonna let it go. I don't know that that's. I mean, I think that there's like maybe some reverence for science in there too. But that was all, you know, kind of like decided or agreed upon at a time when private actors didn't have the money to be a part of that conversation.
I think not even like the, because there were definitely like wealthy people who were wealthier than the government at a certain point in America. And I wonder just like, I mean, they didn't think about it.
A lot of the value of Antarctica is scientific research. Shout out to Antarctica.
But I'm just really at a loss why you would choose to do this and not invest in where you are now. Except for like have it be some sort of vanity project. Although I don't know, maybe there is some sort of scientific like significance that will come out of this.
I don't think they brought any like scientists. Like Jeff Bezos like brought his brother.
Not even a protractor?
What's the spectrometer? Is there one of those on there? No? They're just they're strapped in kid seats, like not allowed to touch the instruments. Yeah, he went up with like his brother and some rando who paid $28 million to be there, but also nobody knows who it is.
$28 million,
dude.
I just got
for 11 minutes.
I got student loan anxiety. Oh my god!
Unfathomable sums of money.
Wow. Well, you know, I guess spend it how you can, I guess, you know?
I mean, yeah. And because I feel like we should maybe dwell a little longer on the thanking the employees and the customers.
We can talk, about the how they were taking wages from Amazon workers at the warehouses, or taking the tips from Amazon carrier drivers and using it to pay their Amazon factory workers,
oh,
and then
dude,
got
I
sued
missed that one.
For
Thank
all
God.
Of the tips that were taken by Amazon. It was like people leaving a tip, for the courier, and they just took it. They just stole it.
Wow.
I guess, back into space research, I guess. Yeah, and they Amazon lost the suit, so they're going to have to pay up. I think it's like $63 million or something. That's, I'm going to double check.
Yeah, that. All that comes to mind is like one of the most iconic episodes of Kitchen Nightmares with Amy's Baking Company. They're stealing tips and getting in fights with customers. So that's
$61 million for tapping into tips from.
I mean, did the couriers get the money back?
Oh, well, that's a lawsuit. Now they have to pay up. Got to pay up the piper. The piper is here to get it saying, I'm here and I'm piped up. Sonia, I see you have a thing to chime in here.
Well, yeah, it's, there are seven major categories of property crime as defined by the Department of Justice. And I think it was in 2018, all of those combined accounted for less theft from people than businesses stealing from their workers. Wage theft amounted to more than all other property crimes combined.
Dang,
that's poof. Well, you can add Amazon that list too.
And then
$61 million.
See, and that is on top of businesses expropriating more than 80% of the value that the workers produce with their labor, and the pittance. Called a wage or salary that the workers do receive, as compensation for their time and energy in producing all of the wealth that company then controls.
Yeah, it's chilling, and just to see where it ends up and the scale of it,
mm-hmm.
and that it, being able to be attuned to it requires vigilance and collaboration, and I mean that's not even necessarily do they estimate how much doesn't get caught of wage theft?
The thing I was basing this on is entirely all documented stuff.
Okay,
so I didn't look too deeply into the sources, just saw that it had a source,
right?
Some of their sources might include estimates.
Okay, yeah.
Of what's not reported, but I mean,
yeah, it doesn't really impact the
point.
Enormity of the sum.
Yes,
for sure.
Well, definitely enough to pay for space exploration at some point, Yeah, and between stealing
or for ensuring a dignified and comfortable life for everybody.
Yes, and there's
that sounds. Expensive.
There is we are bridging the gap between the this conversation and bringing it to the interwebs. Mm-hmm. On TikTok, there's a trend of Amazon workers kind of showing what their work conditions are like, and they have some humor, because it's kind of like you know, laugh about it because, you know, because crying is too difficult. And it's really just like everyone kind of has a similar story. And again, between Amazon stealing from the employees, union busting, you know, to thank them in this hubris kind of like pretentious way is really it's bizarre. Or no, it's not bizarre.
He also kind of like said it as a joke. He also like sort of chuckled while it was happening. Yeah, you guys paid for this. Wait, is it a joke or is it not a joke? You know?
Or it's like maybe it's like it's a funny because it's true thing. It's like a sad clown, happy clown. No, I don't know what.
I take your meaning. But just who was in the audience? It's like
oh yeah, and I'm so glad a couple
that this
of
guy
people
in a cowboy
chuckled.
Hat got to go into space for 11 minutes. A
couple of people chuckled in Millionaire.
Chuckles in Millionaire. Nice. Yeah, I'm kicking myself now because I was thinking about another thing that you know was part of like the internet cultural zeitgeist on it was. A song I think from Bo Burnham's special Inside that like talks directly about Jeff Bezos. I won't sing it for you, but it is.
Should have had that the midway song. But
yeah,
I didn't.
That would have been funny, but it's out there.
It's out there.
If
yes.
Folks are interested in seeing it. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of just add it to the pile of dark.
It's
happening.
Part of the part. It's not surprising. It's. But now it's like going to the stratosphere. You know, it's like going to the next step.
They kind of took it above and beyond.
A lot of puns. Yeah, they really skyrocketed, took it out of the skyrocket. You know, other puns and things. Anywho's, we are going to go on a short, very short, 2-minute musical break, and then we will be back with our mailbag segment and our community question. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Gap. Listening to The Gap here on 90.7 on your FM dial. My name is Tammy, and I am with the one and only, the beautiful, the radiant, the jubilant Althea.
It's even more exciting to get all those compliments when we're in the same place. You say it to me when I was when we were doing this over the phone, and I, you know, dance around in my bedroom or whatever, but, you know, getting compliments to your face sure is nice.
Yeah, talking to people, seeing them.
So we have a new segment on the show called Mailbag. Maybe I'll change the title again. Not totally confident in that because we got some mail. Some of this is mail that is a little bit from a little while ago. You know, we're partially reopening the station. Mail is a little slow to get to where it needs to be. But we want to encourage folks, if they are interested in mailing us something, they totally can. You can send it to The Gap, care of KABU, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, I believe, is our zip code here. Sonia, can you play the mailbag song?
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
That's from Blue's Clues.
Yay! Mailbag.
Mailbag! So we just wanted to give a quick shout out to some of the mail that we got this week.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I picked up the mail and it was a bunch of it, and I was like, oh my goodness, some of this is from a while ago, but I'm so stoked that we have it, and we have the song, and we have the segment. So for the listeners, thank you so much.
The Portland Grey Panthers sent us some pins, which
yes,
are cool.
Thank you.
Much
thank
appreciated.
You
don't have to like send us gifts, but like sending us a letter is great. We got a poem from another listener of ours, and I think we'll put it up on our website, kabu.fm/thegap, so you can check it out. Might not be totally fit for the airwaves at 8:30 a.m. but it is a good poem, and we really appreciate that
handwritten
getting sent to us. Handwritten too.
Yes, so really, really appreciate the letters and the contents and the support and the subject matter, and we will we're here for you, for the community. So if there's any kind of events or people that you are interested in us interviewing, or just any kind of connections, community building, and relationship building, we are here. This is community radio. This is what we do. So you can send us mail for our mailback segment.
And if snail bag.
The snail bag. The snail mail.
That's not the title. If snail mail isn't your thing, you can email us thegapradio@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @thegapradio. We're trying to be more contactable so that if the mail is slow, we could still be in contact with folks. And we really appreciate everybody chiming in and taking the time to send a letter. You know, there's something special about a letter, about getting to open it.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. And it's cool that, you know, stamps are different now. They have like all sorts of these different stamps. Ursula Le Guin got a new stamp.
Oh,
I'm very excited about that one.
That is cool.
Yeah, very neat.
Yeah, I mean, the introduction of this new segment, and with people mailing stuff, it's like, oh, should I be buying more stamps? Like, I'm not really in tune necessarily. Like, I think I have maybe a couple of Forever stamps at home when I need to, like, you know, mail something, but I'd love to be in tune with what the price of stamps are, have some different designs on hand. My great aunt is, she always sends like the best packages, and they're like covered with stamps of very different values that like somehow always add up to the right total.
Oh, that's
and
neat.
I very much appreciate that about her packages. So yes, if you would like to send anything to The Gap, you can. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And if you're interested in seeing some of the stuff that was in the mailbag this week, it will be on our website, kabu.fm/thegap.
Thank you so much, Grey Panthers, and thank you so much, CW. I don't want to put your name out there. Just really, really appreciate all of the support. We are going to be moving on to our community question, part two of the program. And this, for a little context, this community question is was prompted by the Olympics and how Olympians and athletes are kind of taking a stand for their mental health, we are going to play a short little clip of Simone Biles just speaking about having to walk away from the Olympics, and afterwards we will take your calls. And the community question is, have you ever had to take a step back during an important time of your life for your mental health? Or have you ever regretted not stepping back from a situation for your mental health? So we will open up the phone lines. Here's going to be a short 2-minute clip. Just real quick, the phone number is 503-231-8187. Sonia, you can hit it whenever you want.
I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups because they've worked way too hard for that. So I was trying a 2.5, and I ended up doing a 1.5, just got a little bit lost in the air, which is really unfortunate, especially to have a score like that go up there for the team. I feel like I robbed them of a couple of 10s, and we could have been a little bit higher in the rankings. I was like, I think the girls need to do the rest of the competition without me, and they were like, I promise you, you're fine. We watched you warm up. And I said, no, I know I'm going to be fine, but I can't risk a medal for the team, so I need to call it. And you usually don't hear me say things like that because I'll usually persevere and push through things, but not to cost the team a medal. So they were like, okay, well, if Simone says this, then we need to take it pretty serious. And so I had the correct people around me to do that.
It's very hard to lose a teammate, especially at the Olympic Games. So I was really proud of all of us because we were going through so much. We were very stressed, put a lot of pressure on ourselves, but we ended up coming back.
We're fighters. We fought through this whole competition as a team and not as individuals, and that's what we needed. Mm-hmm. And like Suni was saying, at the end of the day, like, no matter what happened, we were just proud that we were able to do what we were doing with losing somebody that's so great.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case. I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
There it is. Simone Biles, the Olympian, the winner, just talking about having to take a step back this round from competing, and that clip was from ESPN. And we are asking you, the listener, when's the time you had to step back from important, you know, situation in your life for your mental health, and when have you regretted not taking that step for yourself, and for, you know, your health, your mental health, physical health, especially when it comes to the, you know, like to the Olympics. You know, there's people numerous times just really severely hurt themselves. Again, the phone number is 503-231-8187. We would love to hear from you, comment about this. Althea, would you like to start us off with maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, what comes to mind for me, because, I mean, just thinking about, right, because the question is, like, how have I experienced? I'm thinking about the enormity of the pressure that Olympians mm-hmm. must feel, and how intense that has to be, and that they are pushed by everyone, you know, in their life, and because this is their job, you know, to be at peak physical health, but that doesn't necessarily always extend to mental health. And being under the kind of pressure that Simone Biles is under, that you know, another instance of this that comes to mind is Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, basically saying she would not compete in certain events or certain like tennis matches because if it required that she had to go in front of the press, because it gave her, it like was bad for her mm-hmm. mental health to have to do that and to be under that kind of scrutiny. And I mean, I think people are like quick to criticize, but that's not because, I don't know, I think what that setting those kind of boundaries is really important, especially if you're in the public eye, and especially if, you know, your body is your instrument, is mm-hmm. the thing that you are valued for. Because, I mean, you can look to history and see times when people have been under that pressure and have driven themselves into the ground in order to perform.
Numerous. Yeah. And these are folks are pretty young, you know, so it's like there's so much pressure for the future also, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things tied up to it. And we didn't even, you know, mention that, you know, when you're an athlete and you are, you know, a woman identified, you are putting yourself in a lot of risk. Larry Nassar was, you know,
right. Very, Simone, you know, Biles is a survivor.
Exactly. So, you know, adding stuff like you know, sexual assault from a person who's supposed to be there to look out for, you know, like you said, this instrument that you are competing for while, you know, representing so many, you know, the country and your statehood and your peoplehood, and yourself and your team, you know, mm-hmm. so much pressure while getting sexually abused, and just seeing kind of like, you know, in the actuality, we heard that it's a very strange to compete in an empty room and mm-hmm. all of the conditions and, you know, the last year and a half that we've all globally have been having to deal with. Sonia, if you have anything to add to that.
Yes, I do. I think there's a very interesting and rather important connection to make here, is that Ms. Biles has recognized, she saw a red flag, right? She lost concentration in the middle of a routine.
In the air, I think she said.
Yes, she yeah. got lost in the air is how she put it. And that lapse of concentration can lead to severe injury and mm-hmm. the entire end of a career. A Soviet athlete in 1978 suffered an injury during training and was not allowed to the time for that injury to heal properly. And I don't know if they made it to the 1980 Olympics, and that's where she flubbed a landing because her leg wasn't healed properly. Mm. Couldn't make the landing properly, and sustained an injury that paralyzed them from the neck down, and they died at age 46.
Mm.
Now, so here's a precedent for Ms. Biles to recognize the warning she got and to act accordingly. It may be that she would be able to just snap back and be fine, but, you know, we've already seen there's at least one I don't follow gymnastics, someone else pointed this out, you know, in this context, know about, right? And there's this whole thing of doing, you can only avoid catastrophe. The only way to be sure to avoid catastrophe is to do more than seems strictly necessary at the time, right? And to do it before it seems necessary, and to do it for, and to keep it up for longer than seems strictly necessary. And I want to connect that to pandemics. The only way to stop a pandemic is to lock everything down for a couple of months, and then you don't have this like slow creeping, you know, just trying to chase down whatever you can, every loose end you can, because you didn't contain it at the very beginning.
I think that's a very interesting comparison. If folks want to chime in, give us a call, 503-231-8187. We're talking about Simone Biles and the Olympics and, you know, opting out of high-pressure, high-intensity situations for your mental health. And we'd love to hear from you. That phone number is 503-231-8187.
This is the good old check yourself before you wreck yourself is basically what this
yes.
is.
And, yeah, very much so.
I can say I've definitely been in a situation where I, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I did all of that from a not good headspace, you know, mm-hmm. and it, you know, things don't work out, or they just make things way more difficult. And I wish I would have given myself the moment, the grace, you know, to rest for a second, say, hold up, just think about this, take a moment, take mm-hmm. 2 moments, take, you know, a day, 2 days, something like that, to just really figure myself out, figure my route out, and like internal red flags. You know, again, check yourself before you wreck yourself. We'd love to hear from you, the listener, if you have any comments. 503-231-8187 is the phone number to call in and get to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, we want to hear about, what was it, when you've stepped back from from a situation for the sake of your mental health, or or whether there's some situation that you recognize, hey, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I had something else, another twist on that that I thought I wanted to bring up. Maybe it'll come to me in a moment. Meanwhile, 503-231-8187, tell us about your experiences with, drawing back from something important that was important to you, but you felt maybe this that you felt was actually doing you harm.
Yeah.
And you needed to step back from it. I know that I have
Yeah, there's a lot of examples of athletes kind of taking care of themselves in this Olympics specifically, just, you know, to keep going on that theme.
Mm-hmm.
The Norwegian handball team decided to not wear bikini bottoms to their competition and wore shorts instead. Of course, they were fined. Singer and artist Pink offered to pay the fine.
1,500 euros.
1,500.
I mean, I don't think that's a ton of euros, but, like, for such a, like, why won't you let, and to clarify, it's the women's team that has to wear bikini bottoms. Everybody else can wear shorts to play beach handball.
Also, three German gymnasts recently competed in uniforms that covered their legs because they said that the traditional leotards sexualized the sport. And that's coming from them. That is, you know, I can't understand why there would be any kind of backlash from that. And that's from dessert.com.
Can't you, though?
Well, if it comes from them, no, because they are supposed to be looked at as a in one specific way, and there is also kind of like, you know, other comparisons to show that it's not part of the game. So the sport, you know, if their mm-hmm. outfits, if their bodies are their uniform, are their tools, you know, then that means that their clothes are part of the uniform. They're part of, like, mm-hmm. the tool. So it's just kind of bizarre to me that this is something that we're still kind of talking about, that this is. But, I mean, I'm glad they're finally taking the step because, you know, if you're trying to compete, you're trying to be professional, you don't want to be sexualized while doing it because that's the rules.
Yeah.
It's a very bizarre place to be. And, again, we'd love to hear from you, the listener, taking the step back for your mental health, or in hindsight, regretting not taking a step back for your mental health in any context that you could think of. The number is 503-231-8187. And also, I want to mention there, you know, there from the comments from when I was looking at the actuality, there is also this notion of, oh, well, she's so strong and look how strong she is, which is always rubbed me the wrong way, especially because of, like, the strong black woman trope that we are, you know, a lot of us are familiar with. So the comments are horrible. You know, mm-hmm. people really have some horrible things to say. But a lot of people get it. I mean, this is just like a person-on-person thing, especially after the last year.
Right.
Especially, you know?
Yeah, and that, you know, if there is a lesson to take away from what we've had to endure, it's that, you know, we can slow down a little bit and take care of ourselves.
You have to.
You have to. Yes. You have to in order to make it through. I mean, I can talk about this for ages, but just like reflecting on how much I used to just run on stress.
Oh yeah.
And how unsustainable that mm-hmm. is when you get home at the end of the day and all you have capacity for is staring at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great sign. We do have a caller, Joan. Joan, how's it going?
Oh, it's going fine, thank you. And I was not going to call in, but I thought of something important that I think I need to say.
Please.
On this topic, which is that I have done quite a bit of work with women's self-defense. And one of the things that is always talked about, it's extremely important, is sometimes a woman gets a funny feeling, okay? She's walking along in the park and suddenly she has this terrible feeling. And she thinks, or the people with her say, oh, it's nothing, don't be nervous, what are you worried about, everything is fine. And it turns out that the funny feeling means that something really bad could happen. In terms of women's self-defense, this could be a rape situation, it could be an attack situation. I was with a friend and we were walking along in a park. This was in California. And she said, you know, there's a guy behind us and I don't know about him, but I feel really weird about it. I have a creepy feeling. And there was a guy behind us and there was no way to tell that he was dangerous or not. But when she said she had a creepy feeling, I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, let's get out of here. And I said, fine, we can talk about it later. Maybe it spoils the hike. Better safe than sorry. And a lot of times, there have been books written about this, actually a really great one called, am I going to remember the title of it, By Her Wits, something like that, where women have saved themselves by acting on their intuition. You know, they go with somebody, something weird is happening, they go into a store and make a phone call to protect themselves. A lot of rape victims have said this. If only I had paid attention to my feeling, it didn't feel right. And I think this is a really good example of paying attention to ourselves for our mental and physical health, despite what the culture says and what other people may be saying around us. I think people need to hear this. If it feels creepy, it might be creepy. If it feels wrong, it might be wrong. If you can get out of there, do it, because it's not worth it. And if you're wrong, so what? And if you're right, you'd be really sorry. And, you know, a cautionary tale, but I think it's really important to say that on the air.
Yeah, appreciate that, Joan. I think that's that point is very well taken, is listening to that intuition. And I definitely have experienced the kind of, like, the conversation that's in your head of, you know, this intense feeling that you get. There was, like, I got the other day, I was out walking and, like, a pickup truck with its window down and music blasting drove by, and, like, my heart dropped to my feet. They didn't say anything to me, but just, like, that freaked me out. But also, you know, that internal conversation that a lot of us have, that, like, oh no, like, I'm being irrational, like, everything's fine. And so, you know, I'm somebody who has anxiety, so sometimes it is like working through, am I actually in danger in this moment, or am I just having a reaction? But it is important to, like, take those feelings seriously and consider them, because it's your body trying to tell you something.
Right. And other people too, to pay attention to what other people feel. It could be just anxiety, and that's a good question. Is this simply fear, or am I feeling something? And the more you pay attention to this and pay attention to the circumstances and a little mindful, the more accurate you get in being able to tell the difference between it's just fear and there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that can be learned and practiced.
Yeah, appreciate that, Joan. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. If other folks want to chime in on this conversation, talking about, you know, mental health in the context of the Olympics and Simone Biles stepping back from the gymnastics competition, that number is 503-231-8187. We would love to hear your input here.
Regretting not stepping back, or it's always,
yeah, or a moment where you know, in retrospect, you probably should have.
Yeah, it's always kind of they say a teachable moment. And yeah, there's also, like, I think also as, like, an athlete, you know, just in the context of the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
You train your body all the time, and I think that when you have this, like, connection with your body when you train it, and you like, it's your tool, and you're a gymnast, you know, I think that, like, listening, it's like you listen to your body, and it's like a more worked out muscle, you know, like a communication that you almost have. That's, I think, people who don't, that I know I don't have. I mean, you know, I maybe feel a tickle in my throat, but I can't, you know, for the life of me, like, you know, I'm definitely not as connected to my body as someone who's an Olympic athlete. So not selling myself short, but let's, you know, some perspective. So I think it's really, and also what I really liked in the interview that she had was how she didn't want this to cost the team the gold medal.
Yeah.
And that's also, it's like not just you, not just your body, not just your future, it's also your teammates. And then I think, in my opinion, that's like a real character of, like, a true leader.
Yeah.
And I really, like, that really struck with me, like, that really, like, resonated with me hearing her say that. And I wondered, how many times have I maybe not stepped back and maybe damaged other people, not just myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can imagine what that calculus is for mm-hmm. her, you know, that, you know, as Sonia was describing, that like losing concentration in a flip, getting not as good of a score as she knows that she can get, and feeling that something's wrong and like needing to address that. And then also thinking about, because here's the other thing about it, is that she has to do this on an incredibly public platform. Mm-hmm. Like, she is one of the like highest awarded Olympians in U.S. history. And so obviously all these eyes are going to be on her. And is the story, you think about what the story is going to be. Is right. the story going to be that I had to take a seat and let my team do the work? Or is it that I beefed it up there and mm-hmm. we didn't get the gold and everybody is blaming me for it?
After so much pressure was put on her.
So much pressure. And I think Suni Lee won a gold for the U.S.
Right, yes.
Yesterday, day before. And just like, you know, whatever the value is of a gold medal, of a team all-around gold medal, like comparing that to, you know, your mental health, and for her having to think also about media scrutiny.
Oh, yeah, that's... And, I mean, that's, you know, was it Osaka...
Naomi Osaka?
Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their big thing. Like, I don't want to be in front of the media. And that's, I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. It's just like all of these opinions and nitpicking. And I saw this meme online that said there should be a non-athlete person doing all of these things just so that we can have a comparison of what, like, how difficult yeah. all of this is. And again, being so young. And, you know, being black, this is during this time, this isn't, you know, easy.
Right.
You know, I can't speak for it, but I wonder if it's also, you know, you're also kind of there for, you know, the culture is kind of like depending on you and looking up to you. And so many people that are that in such like a turbulent time. So it's just a lot of pressure. And again, for an empty stadium.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
I know Simone Biles has also talked about that she's inventing new tricks. Like,
yes.
Quite literally, no one is doing it like
her. And she's getting flack for it, too.
And she's getting flack, and they're not, like, awarding her as highly for these things that she is creating and is the only one in the world that can do them, because there is, like, a sense of, like, well, it's not fair to everybody else. Like, what do you mean it's not fair to everybody else?
We can go down this path of black accidents, intimidating the world, and that could be a show for a whole different time, because there's a lot of that.
Especially with the Olympics, there's been, yes. like, multiple instances of that happening, and I don't know. Like, I think she was in a tough situation where there wasn't, like, you know, a true win situation for her to pick, but I think she did the right thing, obviously, of taking care of herself. And, you know, get me out there. I'll do my best to do a somersault while she's, like, you know, so far up in the air.
We'll all do somersaults if that means that
I don't even know the words to describe the kind of flips that she does.
I'll clap.
Does and
That's
is
all
invented.
I can do. I'll just clap. But, yes, the good old check yourself before you wreck yourself. I think that's a good place to go into, you know, with that headspace into the weekend, maybe take it into the week as well, because you've only got yourself, you know, I think Her Wits is a book that was recommended. Another book I would recommend is The Body Keeps Score, because your body speaks with you. It's and to close off communication with that is not going to serve you to your fullest potential, and mental health is very, very, very important, especially when we're so disconnected, because we need that mental stimulation with one, you know, we're social creatures, as they say.
Yeah. Sonia? Oh, I saw it. Oh. I saw. If you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk. Sorry.
No, what was it? There is a definite through line here. These are all women. No men are being scrutinized or criticized this way. No men are being put in the position of having to make these hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And no men are being no men are given the space to make these decisions, right? It's unmanly to step back for your own well-being, right?
Yeah.
It's expected for women are expected to be like emotional and delicate, and yet when we take that space we need to work through anything, then we get lots of criticism for it.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of the Norwegian team, I mean, are any? It seems they're mostly women of color too.
Oh yes, this is again.
They have like a few intersections going on here.
Oh yes, this is. But this is the step, you know. In one, I guess it's, you know, one person has to do it, and then all of us can follow suit. And if we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, I think that could be the mantra for going on forward. We are just about out of time, and wanted to thank everyone for listening in. Arab Voices is up next. Thank you, Althea, so much.
Yeah.
Sonia, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Take care of yourselves. We'll be here next week.
See ya. Happy Friday.
Goodbye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.